We are still making our way through Mark's Gospel. So if you want to turn with me to Mark chapter 10, we're on page 1015 if you're following in the Pew Bibles. Mark chapter 10, we're going to read from verse 46 to verse 52, the end of the chapter, the story of Bartimaeus receiving his sight. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. This is what Mark writes. He says, "Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked him. The blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' 'Go,' said Jesus, 'your faith has healed you.' Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." We end our reading there. We ask God to add his blessing to his word. There are many people in history that everyone remembers. Kings, generals, leaders, people like Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great, William Wilberforce, Churchill, Mandela, Rosa Parks, JFK. But then there are others. People who are overlooked, pushed to the side, forgotten as quickly as they appear. People who in their own lifetime didn't seem to matter very much at all. And Bartimaeus should have been one of those people. A blind beggar sitting on the side of the road, no status, no influence, no power. If you'd lived in Jericho at the time, you probably would have walked straight past him. Most people did. And yet for 2,000 years, Christians all over the world have known his name, Bartimaeus. And here we are today still talking about him, still reading his story, still learning from his example. Not because of what he had, or not because of who he was, but because of what he did. He cried out to Jesus, and he refused to be silenced. And that's why we know his name. Not because he was important in the eyes of the world, but because he wouldn't stop calling out to Jesus. Bartimaeus shows us something here, that faith doesn't give up easily. Faith keeps calling. And when we call, Jesus stops. And as we walk through this passage, what we're going to see is not just a man who receives his sight, but a man who shows us what it means to really see Jesus and what it means to follow him. So we need to see where the story sits in Mark's gospel. Jesus is on the move. He is now heading to Jerusalem, and he knows exactly what is waiting for him there: rejection, persecution, and the cross. This is the final stretch, the last leg of his journey. In fact, this is the last healing miracle that we read in Mark's gospel. After this, everything turns towards the cross. This isn't just a random healing story, though. This is about opening up our eyes to what it means to follow Jesus and where it leads us. And Mark has deliberately placed the story after the previous one. A moment with James and John who come to Jesus with a request. "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Now that's a bold statement to make, to come to Jesus and say, "We want you to do for us whatever you ask." But Jesus replies with a question, the same question that we just read in this passage: "What do you want me to do for you?" And their answer, "Well, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and one on your left." James and John want status and glory. They want positions of honor. Jesus is heading to the cross, and all that they can think about is crowns. They have visions of grandeur, and Jesus is about to humble himself to the point of death on a cross. And then Mark takes us from that story to this encounter with Jesus. We meet Bartimaeus, and he calls out to Jesus, and Jesus asks him the exact same question, "What do you want me to do for you?" The same question, but a different answer. As Jesus passes through Jericho, in Luke's gospel, when Jesus was in Jericho, he met with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, but now Mark picks it up as he's leaving the city. And he encounters another outsider out on the road, out of the city. But Jesus isn't alone. His disciples are with him too, and a large crowd following him, walking with him, listening to him. And sitting by the roadside is a man called Bartimaeus. Mark gives us his name, which is unusual. It tells us that even though he was a blind beggar, he mattered, and that he was known by the early church. But in that moment, he was unknown. He was invisible, a blind beggar. And that puts him on the outside of everything, outside of the city life, outside of the economy, outside of the community. This is a man with no status, no security, no voice. He survives by begging. And when the crowd walks past, no one stops. They're with Jesus, they're following Jesus, but they're not like Jesus. They're in the same place as him, but they don't see what he sees. They don't hear what he hears. But Bartimaeus hears something. He hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and he has heard about this Jesus of Nazareth. And so he starts to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And that's an important name that he calls Jesus, Son of David. It's a messianic title. He recognizes something about Jesus. Not saying he fully understands who Jesus is. That title, Son of David, could mean that he thinks of Jesus as a kingly Messiah. So while he might not see Jesus in the fullness of who he is as Messiah, he still sees more than many of those with physical sight. And as he cries out to Jesus, walking by, the crowd try to shut him up. "Be quiet." They rebuke him. "Stop shouting. Don't make a scene." And they do this because in their eyes, Bartimaeus doesn't matter. He's an inconvenience. He's a distraction. He's an interruption. But Bartimaeus refuses to be silenced. So he keeps shouting louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He refuses to give up. He has a faith that if Jesus can hear him, then Jesus can help him. A persistent faith that refuses to give up, that won't allow obstacles to get in the way, that keeps calling out even when the world tries to silence him. But Jesus hears him, and Jesus stops. And that's big, because Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to be arrested, to be beaten, and to be crucified, and he knows that. He is on his way to do the most important thing that's ever been done in the history of humankind. If anyone had the right to say, "Not now, I'm too busy. Maybe if you'd called out yesterday, I could have helped." If anybody had the right to say that, it was Jesus. But he doesn't. He stops. For a blind beggar, for a man that the crowd had dismissed, a man the crowd had tried to silence, Jesus stops and he listens. And he says to the crowd, "Call him." The same crowd that tried to silence him now bring him to Jesus. These people who are following Jesus, these followers of Jesus, are given the responsibility of bringing this man who has lived his life in the margins at the side of the road to Jesus. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." And that's a challenge for us. Are we ever like that crowd? Slow to care, too busy, too focused, too distracted. We say we're following Jesus, but we forget that our role is to bring people to the place where they can encounter Jesus. Like Wednesday, the 1st of April at 7:30 here in the sanctuary for the Cafe Explore Easter service. A place where people can come and encounter Jesus. Are we too busy, too focused, too distracted? Or do we stop like Jesus? Do we notice like Jesus? Do we make time like Jesus? Because loving like Jesus demands our time. It demands to be an inconvenience, a distraction to our lives. Are we like the crowd? Or do we stop and care like Jesus? And then comes one of the most powerful little details in the story that we can so easily miss. Bartimaeus throws off his cloak. It doesn't sound like a big thing, but it is. For a beggar like Bartimaeus, that cloak was everything. It was his protection, it was his warmth, his security. It was probably the place where he kept the money that he had made from begging. But he throws it aside. And that's an act of faith. Because think about it. He's blind. How's he going to know where his coat is once he's thrown it away? But when he throws that cloak off, he believes that he's going to be able to find it. He believes that he's going to be able to see after he meets with Jesus. He's expecting Jesus to do what he asks. That is the faith that Bartimaeus has. It's an expectant faith. He believes that if Jesus has called him, he won't be the same again. So he lets go of the one thing that he has. How different he is from a man we encounter earlier in the same chapter in Mark's gospel. A rich young man who comes to Jesus, who has so much, but we're told that he walks away sad because he won't give up all the things that he has to follow Jesus. But Bartimaeus, who has almost nothing, throws it away without hesitation. The rich man holds fast, but Bartimaeus lets go. The rich man walks away, but Bartimaeus runs towards Jesus. Bartimaeus understands what it means to seek first the kingdom of heaven. And all these other things that we chase after and hold on to so tightly, they'll follow. What are we holding on to that feels like security, but is actually keeping us from Jesus? Sometimes following Jesus begins with letting go. And so Bartimaeus is brought to Jesus, who asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" It seems like an obvious question, doesn't it? Bartimaeus is blind. He wants to see. What else could he want? So why does Jesus ask? Jesus asks because there's power in asking. There is a clarity in naming our need. There is an honesty in speaking out. And there's a recognition and an acknowledgement that we need Jesus. That what we need, he can offer us. And so we're reminded of that contrast again. Same question, different answers. James and John, give us glory. Bartimaeus, let me see you. What we ask for shows us what we think about Jesus. It reveals how we understand him. And Bartimaeus answers with humility. Our version here that we read said Rabbi, probably more accurately should have said Rabboni, which is one level above the rabbi, my master, my Lord. Bartimaeus doesn't feel entitled. He doesn't feel that God owes him anything. He doesn't believe that he deserves anything. Look at this life that you've given me. Look at the struggle that I've had. I deserve better than this, God. No, he doesn't. He says, I need mercy. I need what I don't deserve, what I haven't earned. And then he gets specific. It's not a general plea. It's specific about what that help that he needs looks like. I want to see. See, with God, we don't need to be vague. We don't need to be careful. We don't need to take the long way around to ask him for what we need. Bartimaeus shows us that when we come to Jesus, we can name it. We can be specific. We can ask clearly. Not because God doesn't know what it is, but because we need to say it. We need to ask for it. I want to see. And so when he asks, Jesus says to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he can see. His faith has made him well. And as we've seen, as we've gone through this passage, Bartimaeus shows us what that faith looks like. It's not some vague belief, it's specific. His faith is persistent. Persistent. He kept crying out to Jesus even when others try to silence him. His faith is informed. He knows exactly who Jesus is. His faith is humble. He asks for mercy, not for what he thinks that he's owed, but actually he asks for things that he knows that he doesn't deserve. His faith is submissive. He comes before God and recognizes who Jesus is in relation to himself. Rabboni, my master, my Lord. His faith is expectant. He casts his cloak aside, knowing that he's going to be able to find it again, because whatever he asks of Jesus, he knows that Jesus will give him. And his faith is clear. He knew exactly what he needed, and he asked for it. This is faith in action. But this is not a formula. I'm not saying that if you have enough faith, you will always be healed, or that if these six characteristics are present in your faith, God will give you anything that you ask. That's not what the Bible teaches, and that's not what experience shows us. And it would do more harm than good if I didn't say that. The point isn't that faith guarantees healing. The point is that faith brings us to Jesus, and in him we find what we truly need. Sometimes that includes physical healing, but it always includes something deeper, a restoration, a wholeness, a new life. And then we come to the most important line in the story. Immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. And that's the point of the story. Not just seeing, but following. Not just receiving from Jesus, but walking with him. Mark is saying that when we see Jesus for who he truly is, we will want to follow him. And by putting the story alongside the previous one about James and John, Mark is also saying that walking with Jesus doesn't guarantee that we're seeing him for who he truly is. We need to have our eyes opened to him, opened by him. Bartimaeus sees Jesus and chooses to follow him. And note that he chooses to follow him because Jesus didn't say to him, "Follow me." Jesus says, "Go. Go your own way." He had a choice. He could have gone anywhere. He could have gone back to Jericho. He could have gone to Independence, to Comfort, anywhere. But he chose something else. He chose to follow Jesus. Because once you see who Jesus truly is, you won't want to go your own way. You will want to follow him. And in the next chapter and from next week onwards, we'll see where his way leads. To Jerusalem, to suffering, to the cross. When Bartimaeus chooses to follow Jesus, he is stepping onto that road too. The way of Jesus becomes his way. So let me ask you this question. What do you want Jesus to do for you? If he stopped in front of you today, if he looked you in the eye and asked you, "What do you want me to do for you?" What would you say? Would you answer like James and John? If we're honest, maybe we would. "I want comfort, success, recognition. I want my life to be easier, to work better." But this encounter with Jesus invites us to something deeper. Not status, not success, but sight. It's an invitation to see Jesus for who he really is. To see ourselves more clearly for who we really are. To see the world in a whole new way. And to choose to go my own way or to follow his way, wherever that might lead. Maybe today you feel like Bartimaeus. You're on the outside. You feel overlooked. You feel unseen, pushed aside. But Jesus sees you. He's not too busy for you. If you call out to him, he will hear you. He will stop and he will listen. Maybe you feel like he won't, because maybe you feel as if you've been silenced by others, by your circumstances, maybe even by yourself, by your own doubt about who you are and your own importance. But this story says, keep calling. This story says, don't stop. Persistence matters. You matter. So what do you want Jesus to do for you? This might be the last healing miracle in Mark's gospel, but it's not the end of the story. For Bartimaeus, it's just the beginning. Are you ready for a new beginning? For a fresh start today, wherever you are, alongside Jesus? On the side, watching him walk by, walking alongside him, but not really seeing him for who he is? Are you ready for a new beginning? For a fresh start today? Are you willing to choose to follow him? Because true sight is not just seeing Jesus, it's following him. It's allowing him to be the one who leads you through your life, through this one and into the next one. If you haven't opened your eyes to Jesus, it's not because he's passed you by. You might think you don't matter. You might think you're of no importance to people, to God, but Jesus sees you. Jesus stops and gives you his full attention today, because he is also persistent. So again, let me ask, what do you want Jesus to do for you today? Shall we pray? God, we thank you for how much you love us. You love us so much that even though others might make us feel unloved, you see us. And you stop. And you listen to what we have to say, because what we have to say, Lord, it's important to you. And so, God, if there is any doubt in any of us today that we are not worth coming to you, that we are not loved by you or valued by you, or you don't want to hear what you have to say, Lord, will you take that doubt from us today? Will we look at the story of Bartimaeus and go, that's me. I don't feel seen. I don't feel noticed. But Jesus sees me. Jesus sees you. God, may we know that today in the fullness of that truth. God, may we not be like the crowd. For the crowd, Jesus is a Jesus that is too busy. Too busy for people who need him most. God, forgive us when we have portrayed you in that way. When we have failed in allowing people who are pushed to the side to see you for who you really are. Because we've created a Jesus that is too busy. That doesn't love enough. That is too distracted, has got far more important things to do. God, forgive us when we have created this false God, this false Jesus. Open up our eyes, Lord, to open up the eyes of our hearts, open up the eyes of our minds, open up the eye of our spirit to see you for who you truly are, so that we can show that Jesus to the world around us. And so, God, you've also said to us, go. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Turn them into followers of Jesus. And so, God, send us out into this world in the power of your Spirit to open up the eyes of the blind, to reach out our hands and lift them up and bring them to you. May we do that in the power and the strength of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.